This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let me try that again on with the right button. Wow, I suck. All right, quiet!
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man. My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man. My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man. My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
We should make that a ringtone.
My mother
Justin like
watched me get my nuts
fondled by another man. Oh, I better stop playing if you have to pay him for that.
No, dude, it's
we already
much.
Owe him about $50.
No, dude, it's like a tenth of a cent, man. He gets paid like a musician.
Oh, it's like a coupon.
It's like Spotify.
Yeah, he gets paid like a musician. In about 30 years, we'll have $6. Him and Peter Frampton will be like, let's kill somebody.
Welcome to the Migs Cast. I'm Steve Migs. I'm here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hi.
We're twinning today, both rocking our Joe Coy crew shirts.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nothing gets me more cred with people than when they see this because they think I'm part of Joe Coy's crew. And I'm like, I am.
Yeah, totally.
Duh. And then we're here also with Glenn Cannon, everybody, alive.
I don't have a cool shirt.
We got to get you one.
I'm wearing same thing I ever wear. Black t-shirt, Dickies shirt.
Yep.
I like my Dickies shirts.
Yeah, you do.
I broke down and did a thing, too, recently because all my shirts have started to, two things happen. They're no longer black. They're sort of a gray.
Uh-huh.
And then the armpits fall out of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At which point, I usually just grab the sleeve, and with a tug, the sleeve comes right off, and I now have a sleeveless tee to wear around the house.
Sun's out, guns out.
And then guns, right. Yeah, mine's
pew, pew.
Mine's like a Nerf for...
Still a gun.
Yeah, right. It's to take a lot to weaponize me, dude.
It's good to see you here, man.
Yeah.
Last week, I think we were knee deep in live day, and
well,
it was a day
yeah.
that like
panic.
I was so busy with stuff. I know Glenn
I sent
was.
Up the flare first. I was like, guys, if it's cool, if it's going to be a short one, because Steve has had those meetings.
Yeah,
I was
shockingly,
like,
I still have a live day. No, I'm different. I have a different meeting today. It's like, oh, Steve, we're done with the live day meetings. Can you meet now at this one? I'm like, can we do this one at 11:30?
When I got your text
11,
last
so I can do a
night?
Full podcast.
Yeah, dude, I was like. Does he know live day's over?
I wish everybody knew I was dumb. But it's just, it might be a thing where we start, it doesn't affect the listeners because it'll probably be about the same length, but I have to, if we start early, then we can still do our full thing.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do as opposed to starting at like 10:40-ish.
Yeah, right.
Now it's like 10:10. So yeah, there you go.
10:10.
But dude, props to you and everybody involved with live day. That was without a doubt, I mean, on the air, it's always fun. Behind the scenes, it's usually a nightmare.
It
this
was really
year
smooth, man.
Was
getting
this,
better.
It was like everything. Like her hair club sent me an email. I was like, well, all right, give me the list of things that you hated. And usually I'm like, I don't know if I have enough space on my email to give you. Yeah. But I have nothing. I have nothing negative to say behind the scenes. Everybody did an incredible job.
There's usually at one point when we've had this at every single live day where Steve will have to yell at a person. Never me, which I'm very happy about.
Well, Migs has to put someone on check.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, because they'll just I'll tell my, hey, this is a problem. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, this is still a problem. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, I had two people in the band say that they're having a problem with the headphone mix. This is now the seventh time I've told you this. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's like, okay, now I'm.
And you pop.
Now it's time to just let them know because we've now been. I've been bugging them for an hour and a half.
Yes.
I would say every year that I've been involved with it, at some point during the day, I screamed the F word.
Yeah.
Because something pushed me to the brink of wanting to choke someone. And that.
Well, it's also a lot of stress.
Didn't happen this year.
It was great.
Didn't happen. There was, some confusion where there was a preliminary schedule that was sent out. And then there was a day of run of show.
Yeah.
So right around the 7:35 hour, there was some confusion about which band was to be on stage. And I'm telling you, I was at the right side of the stage, and I would do, you need to get this and this and this. You got to get these guys on deck. The wrong band's on deck. And by the time I got to the around the back to the other side of the deck, to the other side of the stage, someone would say, they need you over at stage left. This band is up, and they have a question. So I'd run back over, and they'd be like, this is the wrong band. You need to go find the Ozzy tribute. The Motley Crue tribute is not up yet. And I'm like, well, they're saying I was a human ping pong ball for about 10 minutes.
Oh, geez.
And then it was basically, yeah, Motley Crue's not up, Ozzy's up. And I'm like, well, Motley Crue's on deck because they have an email they keep showing me saying they're on deck.
They're currently sharing a burrito right now.
I run out into the hall, and Charlie Lorme from the Aussie Tribune has just walked in, and I'm like, dude, we need you on deck. He's like, we're 8:05.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where I think at that point that's when I yelled the F-bomb. And I ran, and I got a physical schedule, and I ran out, and I showed it to the Aussie Tribune guys. I'm like, dude, I need you on deck now, 7:35. See, 7:35. They were like, oh, okay. And then by the time I had them kind of on
exciting.
Deck, they all had their phones out showing me the email with the schedule that said 8:05.
Oh,
so
technology.
That was my only, that hiccup. And then there was another one during the men's room where the Rat Tribute.
The Rat Tribute?
Oh, yeah. And they were killer. They were killer. They nailed round and round.
And the problem was is that I was watching it on the Facebook Live feed.
I hate that we have to
cut
it out.
Yeah, it was muted. Yeah. So I would just see people jumping and bouncing around. I could figure out, like, obviously I knew it when it was the Kiss tribute band because it's like Joe and all his everyone dressed up.
The Def Leppard tribute was amazing.
I knew that it was Def Leppard.
Every tribute band that day.
I got to agree.
They
crushed it.
They were all so good. It was killer.
I had a moment of panic, though, because in the morning we're about to go into, and I write out all the teases based off of like the schedule that we put together like days in advance. So I put together teases for BJ so he can announce. I want to make sure we give the bands love. I want to make it a point that we give them love on the air so that they, you know, it's not like, and here's another song, because I think that's just disrespectful to their time.
Totally.
So we have it set up for the Skid Row tribute band to get some love. And I'm looking behind me and I see our rock girl, Lindsay. Yep. And I know she sings backing vocals in Lewd and Crude.
Which is the Crew one, yeah.
And so now I'm like,
this might
be Motley Crue. And then I look at the band and they're like, no, we're Skid Row. I'm like, okay, it's still Skid Row. I didn't know that she was doing backing vocals for both.
Like so many tributes, I think it's the same.
Incestual.
It's either the same band, different singer, or the guy that does Vince Neil also does
Sebastian
Bach.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And that guy's got pipes. Like, I met a bunch of people I hadn't met before and got to chat with them, but all those guys were so cool.
So cool.
Dude
so
looks
talented.
Like Vince Neil, too.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
It was cool.
Don't hurt his feelings.
I mean, no.
Which Vince Neil?
Cool Vince Neil.
Cool Vince Neil.
Cool Vince Neil. Yeah. Cool skinny
like getting
Vince
laid
Neil.
Vince Neil.
Yeah.
The Rat Band.
You're killing Razzle, Vince Neil.
I had gone up.
That's terrible.
All the amps were on standby. I had them all with cables ready to go, and we were standing right off the stage just kind of chatting. Because normally I'll be like, okay, we're about the 5-minute mark. You guys can go up, get comfortable, and just be on deck and be ready. And we're kind of chatting, and everything's cool. And I think I'd told the drummer, like, hey, man, you can go ahead and go up and rearrange anything you want. You know, it's going to be a few more minutes. And then there was this weird, like, suddenly eyes were upon us. And I'm like, okay, go ahead up, guys. And then the bass player hopped up, and he was out of tune, took a second of tune. They took off, and they played. And I thought everything was cool other than that the guy knew, oops, my bass was a little out of tune. Let me tune that real quick. Too bad this is going out across the air. And then they rocked, right?
Yeah.
Well, I found out later that, like, Miles had been like, you know, here's the whatever they're called. Blah, blah, blah. And there was
nobody.
Band on deck. And we were 8 feet away, staged, waiting for the, you know. And
for the go there.
And I didn't realize that until, because like Kevin Deers pulled me aside and he was like, hey, man, was that my fault with the Rat Band? And I'm like, no, dude. The bass player just needed to tune real quick, but I had no idea this had happened. I'm like, dude, the bass player just needed to tune. But other than that, everything was smooth as glass.
Live day.
I did not realize that he had announced the band without ever looking over his shoulder. He announced the band.
He didn't even bother. I mean,
Miles does that.
But there's like a tumbleweed blowing across the stage. I mean, there is no band, dude.
They would literally be 6 feet from him, if that.
But that's it. That's the one thing is.
It's like, wow, this is a small band. I don't even see any of them.
For me being, because my job these recent years is basically to just get touch base with the band, see if they have any unique needs. Do you need to switch out your amp? Do you need this? Do you have a pedal board? Do you have something you need to plug in? And then to get them on stage, ready to roll, and then bam, they play.
Rock.
That's my whole function. But I'm not on radio. No one had given me any indicator, hey, 10 minutes till Rat.
Yeah.
Or so we were literally right there, all of us BSing, and do you guys need anything here? I've got cables up there. You don't need your cables.
Everyone's chill, just hanging
dude,
out.
Dude, I'm serious, man.
Tea.
Yeah.
There's just dead air.
So that happened, and I felt really, those dudes emailed everyone and thanked, and I replied to that email by saying, hey, man, sorry about that. That was on me. But I wasn't on radio, and I had no idea what was going on. So those were my two moments, and I think it all came off great.
Aw,
those
dude,
guys were stoked. And nobody was mad at me, but it took me 48 hours to figure out what Kevin Deers was talking about. Because he was like, dude, was that my fault? And I'm like, what?
What? You should have wrote him back and go, hey, on second thought, it was your fault.
No, man. Yeah, no. Wasn't Kevin's fault. Maybe next year, because there was an incident with Beat Migs, actually, the first Beat Migs. Uh-huh. What happens when you get a bunch of rock and rollers up at the 4 o'clock hour and pump them full of coffee? The backstage men's room was what I'm going to call it the drop zone.
Dude.
That was the drop zone.
Bro, I don't know what cover, I don't know who it was, but he was doing a Reverend and Fuego cover in the bathroom.
I didn't do anything until after 8:30.
No, this guy destroyed the bathroom.
Well, every time I went in there, there was groaning and four pairs of visible feet at all times.
Yep.
So I hit a point where it was like,
that's so true.
I need to sit down. So finally I was like, when's Beat Migs? And I looked and I'm like, I've got about 12 minutes. That's enough time.
Yeah.
So I went out into the casino to have a moment of personal reflection. And when I came back in, I mean, I knew, right? But no one else, I guess they started looking for me 10 minutes out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I came back Panic.
Where's
like
Glenn?
Vicky, Ryan, Shoot, Ryan. They were like, where have you been? Where have you been? You got to do Beat Migs like now. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's cool.
And I walked up.
And the funny part is, if you weren't there, I would have just done the song by myself.
Oh, dude, Vicky was all panicked. She's like, we got to get you a mic. I'm like, my mic's right there. And she handed me a lyric sheet. And I stepped up, and it was like a 10 count. And
yeah.
It's time to do Beat Migs. I mean, it was seamless.
Yeah.
But again,
like, I knew we were looking for you, but at that point, I'm like, well, I have to go up there.
I think next year, I'm just going to say, hey, man, put me on radio. You know, because I could have said, I'll be there in four.
I'm hoping right now, sir.
I'll do that when I've done like hotel, big events in hotels and stuff. I'll be in the can on radio.
Yeah, that's why they don't give me a radio.
Dude, one of the best moments, I think, though, was when I was taking a dump and the guy next to me was destroying it. And then someone else came in to warm up their vocals. And I'm like, this is the weirdest experience. I've got some guy grunting and groaning and destroying the bathroom while someone else was doing their vocal exercise.
Plus, he's in there taking deep breath after deep breath.
I'm like,
I would have warmed up somewhere else.
Like, do breath.
This is going to be bad for your lungs, man. I don't care if you're warming up. It's better not to. Like, you might want to just be pitchy. Like, this is awful. It was terrible
steaming
in there.
Up.
And I wish I knew who was dropping the dude.
I don't think it was Kevin Deers, but I got someone else in that restroom at some point.
Guess who's the deuce?
I came in and the handy-capable stall was, the door was open. That's the class stall. It's bigger, it's roomier.
It's the Cadillac of everyone
wants,
public bathrooms.
Everyone wants that stall.
I was in that one at
and
that time.
I hate to report this.
I'm talent,
I don't know who did it. But there was stool on the floor in the corner.
That was me.
Come on.
There was poopy on the floor.
Well, that's it's good
and
luck.
Some TP.
Oh, is it good luck?
And whoever I was with, and it might have been Kevin. I can't remember. But
I'm kidding. It wasn't me.
We both walked up. I was like, "Hey, man, come here." And he came. Whoever it was.
Hey, come look at this.
And, you know
how
it is,
dead
right?
Body.
Yeah. Right. Right. So there we are, arm in arm. And I put my arm around and went, "That stool in the corner.
Wow.
That stool in the spot." Like, by that point, the individual was walking away cackling. But yeah, that was a high point for me that day.
It's impressive.
There you go.
Super impressive.
There's some live day stories. I'll shut up now.
Great times, man. Yeah. Live day was a blast.
It was so much fun.
It went really well. It went really well.
Oh, yeah. We have a gift. The Migs Cats has a gift, you guys. I'm very excited. So while we were off, I had it last week. We weren't able to do it. So hopefully they're listening this week. But I received a box of stuff and a postcard. And it says, to Migs, Rev, and Glenn.
Aw.
Thank you guys a ton for the killer shout-out on your podcast. We're huge supporters of BJ and Migs, the men's room, Taryn, etc., and honored that you like our stuff.
Etc.
That's Ryan Castle.
In stereo.
He's the professor of KISW and the rest. Oh, man.
Etc.
He said, and the funny part is he's the guy that could get your music on the radio.
Yeah, right.
No, we'll never tell him.
We'll fix it in post. We're huge supporters of Ryan Castle, most importantly, BJ Migs, Menjun, Taryn, etc. If that's Jeeps, that's fine. I'm kidding. We're honored that you liked our stuff. It's a huge compliment coming from such local legends like yourselves. Here's a small token of our appreciation. Keep rocking from Irish Drive.
Oh, that's cool, man.
For Andy and the crew
from
Irish Drive.
Thanks for even thinking of us. Oh, man. It's on an Irish Drive postcard.
These guys aren't effing
around.
It's
an Irish Drive postcard in this really cool font. That is wicked.
Dude,
that
these
is
guys,
cool. I almost went Canadian. I almost said that is wicked cool.
You know what? While I hand out the gifts, I feel like it's only fair since they showed
That's
us
rad.
Some love. I'll pick a song that doesn't have a cursing, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll find out.
All right, so let's listen to a little Irish Drive while I hand out these presents. The song's called If I. It's off of their new record. Bridges, the Nashville Sessions. And I truly do love this band, and I've been listening to this record a lot. It's a freaking awesome record. So shout out to Andy, the rest of the crew from Irish Drive, for hooking us up. All right, here we go. We got Beanies.
Oh, I love Beanies.
They really hooked us up,
those
man.
Those are really cool.
Yep. Or as in Canada, they call them toques.
Do they really?
Yep.
Fool of a toque.
Ooh, we've got Trucker's Cats.
I love
this
those.
This is incredible, man.
Dude, this is rad. These guys are...
They make me feel like I'm really slacking.
That's
I need to
a really
up my
nice
game.
Design on
the,
this.
The logo's beautiful.
Right?
This
that's
vocals, man.
Killer.
So good on this. And I love the drumming, but I'm a drumming nerd. All right, we got some t-shirts.
You got any fat sizes over there?
Dude.
This one's a large.
That's
Irish
a Steve
drum.
One.
That'd be for Steve.
Yeah.
It's what, like the Jack Daniels logo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I recognize that logo.
Yeah,
it's a friend
do.
Of mine.
Another large.
Oh, that's another Steve.
I love that
shirt.
You guys think that we're in that good of shape, man. I appreciate that.
He mentioned, he said, hey, I have no idea how big or small you guys are. So
no,
so.
He's like that hurtful mother. You'll fit into it when
an
you're done.
XLR.
Yeah.
There you go, Glenn.
Yeah, well, are you a 2X or a single X?
Usually I go 2X.
Okay, so I can have the single X. I'm not hurting
yes,
you?
Yes, sir.
And we got an extra large tank top for the ladies.
Rev?
That's a good one. No, I'll pass on that one. That's a good one for a lady.
Some stickers.
Oh, we got discs.
And CDs.
Dude, they sent
nice.
Us a whole... This is rad.
Yeah, these guys didn't mess around.
Cool.
And this is their Born
what
Sick EP.
Cool.
Dude.
That's
I mean...
killer.
I showed you Love just because, for the most random reason, discovered you guys on Instagram. If you guys want any more of these shirts, be sure to grab something.
I'm going to take one to the wife.
Yeah. There you go.
You sure, do you want the XL, Rev?
No.
Will it fit you?
No.
Okay.
Like, I just don't trust it.
All right. Can't trust it.
No.
Thanks, man. Yeah. The bride. My beloved Tawny.
The bride ski.
Yeah, we'll gladly trust me. Soon I'll see her in that and nothing else, probably.
Hot. Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's what she rocks to bed usually, is like underwear and some local rock and rock band t-shirt.
You're welcome, Andy. From Irish Drive.
Like, you guys just would never know.
And I want to give a shout out to Andy while we're jamming out listening to their music. Again, I love this group. Talk about showing some love. I mean, dude, again, I had no reason other than being a fan of your music because I just discovered it in the most random way. He then made it his way over to 3-2-1 Battle and watched me wrestle with his boy.
Oh, wow. That's cool,
I'm
man.
I'm bummed, though. I got effed up in the eye, and I got stuck in the back for concussion protocol and all this, so I didn't really make my way out there. I wish I would have ran into him there, but hopefully I'll run into him in the future. But, yeah, I said, hey, man, dude, you're a beast. So much fun tonight. That was my first time. Had to wrap my head around you being a bad guy. You did an awesome job. Played the part so well. A lot of fun.
Just he not says, much of a stretch, dude.
When you got off stage, your eye was puffing up pretty bad because I said, hey, sorry, I didn't say hi.
He had a heck
eye.
Of a shiner when
oh,
you showed up
nasty.
At Live Day. I was like, dude, did Sid do that? Steve was so tired, he just kind of grunted at me.
I just love that he goes, man, I was watching in awe, thinking if I did any of that, I'd be laid up for weeks. Your moves are awesome. That's a really cool environment. Also said, ladies behind me are screaming, F you, Steve. I'm like, bruh, he's one of the nicest guys out there. That'll take me a bit to adjust to. Dude, that was the best part of that. That match was like, I mean, I truly found my heat. That room.
Before or after I got caved in?
Right. Before.
Okay.
They hated me. So I come out in the match, and I'm like, I walk out. They introduce me. I wish I could find the audio. It'll take me a second to find it. But I basically walk out. And I go over to the announcer and go, you tell them that I'm going back into the locker room. And then when I come out, they better be giving me a standing ovation like the local celebrity that I am.
Wow.
Come back out. Now they're even more angry at
wow.
me. Place is just going balls nuts, right? They're like, we hate you. I'm in the ring and I'm looking over at this woman. I wonder if it was the woman that Andy was by. And she's just glaring at me, right? Just glaring. Finally, I look at her again, still glaring. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I look at her, I'm like, what's the matter? And she goes, F you, and then takes a swig of her beer, and I'm like, I am so happy. Like, I'm just so freaking happy. It was so awesome.
Nice.
It was such a great time.
Yeah, cool, your shiner's man. Almost gone now, buddy.
The shiner is almost gone.
I guess it was only a matter of time. I mean,
yeah.
He's doing a very physical, full contact thing. It was a matter of time before you showed up with a shiner, dude.
The funny part was, like, so the whole thing was, like, we're literally two moves away from this match being over. And in my head, I always think about this. I'm like, one more move, and I made it out alive. Like, both of us. Like, I'm like, we're injury-free.
This has gone well. No one's hurt. People are digging it.
A total success.
We're almost there.
And the move that ended up doing this, so I do a move where I put him in a full Nelson. We both kind of take a fall to our asses. They call it the Bubba Bomb.
Did your eye hit his head?
He was in front of me. head snap back and just slam my eye. So unintentional.
Yeah, oh yeah, but that's, it happens, bro. Look at what you're doing.
Yeah,
like, you know.
And it just the minute it happened, I'm like, oh, F word.
I'm sure it hurt.
I knew this was going to happen. But
honestly, though, when you describe what went down, like the fact that you didn't bite your tongue or bite your lip or split your lip or possibly break the bridge of your nose.
That's like,
I'm going to say that you did really well, Steve.
No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, think about that, Rev. Like,
yeah.
Think about, you know, honestly, the eye hit on the face is...
Of all the places, it could have been a lot. It could have...
Bro.
The nose or even lost a tooth. That
would have
shown
up for live day with a, hey, this is Steve Wiggs. Good morning, buddy. Welcome to live day.
That would have been kind of fun. I mean, at least over the air.
The sad part is, though... the sad part about it is that as it happened, I'm like... In a weird way, I'm like, oh, man, I wish I was bleeding because that would have been a great picture. Blood in the face. But I was like, you know what? I shouldn't wish for things like that because it could only get worse. Yeah, oh, here we go.
Careful what you wish for, dude.
Yeah, right?
I found the clip of me getting all pissed off. So at this point, they're booing me. And I'm yelling at the ring announcer guy like, hey, man, it's time for you to introduce me better. So I storm off. Let's see. All right, I'll storm off right here. Oh. Here we go. Okay, cool. Here we go.
They don't sound unified.
No.
Oh, yeah, just wait till I walk out. Here we go.
Oh, wow.
It took everything in my power not to smile.
Oh, yeah, dude, you're owning it. It's great, man. Miggs is walking out, like, gesturing with his hands, screaming at the crowd, clapping at him.
They are screaming back.
He's so in character. Like, it's wicked, dude. You're so in the moment. It's great.
So great. You can follow this on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv. Yeah,
everyone go out and check this clip out. It's great, dude.
Yeah.
What was the, I'm sorry, I was talking. What was the link again?
Twitch.tv/321battle.
There you go.
Someone was so pissed at me, they threw a tampon at me.
Oh.
It was a new tampon.
Okay. Yeah,
so it wasn't an L7 concert.
Right.
It's fresh. Oh, gross.
So I looked down.
There's a mouse that still had its head.
So this is how this, the funny part is, yes, it had the tail.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
So
true. Sure
so
is.
I'm in the ring. Everyone's booing me. I look down. And now there's a couple of wrestlers, the Hall Sisters. When they come out, they have those confetti cannons. And they're like the mini ones, like a little tube. And they pull a string and the confetti flies out, right?
Yeah, fun.
So I'm like looking down. I'm like, oh, crap, somebody threw one of those little mini confetti cannons on the ground. And then I look again, I'm like, that's way too small to be a confetti cannon.
Don't pull that string.
I'm like, what is this yellow thing with a string? And I look at the ring announcer, I'm like, is that what I think it is? And he's like, I think so. And
it's
then
a feminine hygiene problem.
Kendall Marie is the referee, and I look at her, and I'm like, this is a weird question. Is that a tampon? She's like, yep. I'm like, we should probably get that out of the ring, huh?
Yep.
She's like, I'll kick it out of the ring. I'm like, okay, good.
No. Later, when he breaks your nose, stuff
later.
It up there to absorb the bleeding,
yeah, right?
Dude.
Yeah.
You know? Those babies are great for that when you get cracked in the face.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Hey, honey, can you get in your purse? I need two. That guy was really angry.
I try not to get cracked in the face, so I would not know this.
But it was awesome, dude. It was great. It's like, man, people are so mad now. And the best part is one of the women that does the announcing, Colin, she later on tells me, she's like, they must really hate you. Those aren't cheap. I was like, you know, you would know, not me.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That made me even happier. I'm like, somebody used their hard-earned money.
If that came out of a plastic applicator, that was a high-dollar unit, man. What if it was a cardboard applicator, then that's kind of on the cheap side, you know?
What if that becomes the thing? Like, whenever I go in the ring, people just throw tampons
at me.
Do you really want to declare that?
Dude, I'm going to throw up with a box.
It's a different kind of streamer club there at that point.
A box of pads. I just want to throw pads at him, dude.
Accompanied to the ring by...
I'll throw liners at him, dude.
Then I'm going to have the announcer go, accompanied to the ring by his valet, Aunt Flo.
Oh.
It's your local celebrity,
okay.
Steve Miggs.
I kind of now want this to actually happen.
Yeah.
Make it happen, everybody. Go to 321, throw tampons at Steve.
Glenn's here tonight. He's got two boxes of pads with him, man. He's the king panty liner, and he's going to be whipping these babies in Meg's.
Somebody even mentioned, speaking of wrestling, oh, was it a while ago you said a band was going to cover a song for your wrestling intro. Has that happened, and can we hear it yet? Has not happened yet. I want to make sure I give the guys some. So it's Coyote Bread is the band that's working on it.
Coyote
and,
Bread.
And cool. Yeah, they're awesome. Super awesome band. Local band that's really kick-ass. And they just sent me the rough tracks of the drums.
Nice.
And a little bit of
it's
the guitar
coming into
as well.
Focus.
It is, man. I'm very, very pumped. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Kevin and the boys in Coyote Bread for putting that together. It's going to be an old 80s song reworked for a future wrestling entrance.
Yeah, nice.
And I think I'll have it probably by sometime in the new year to play here on the Migs Cast.
Sweet.
Cool. We'll be off when I actually get it in sometime in December because, dude, honestly, any minute now a phone might ring and I'm going to have to go run home.
Man.
That's nuts.
What's going on?
I'm having a child.
When you said a phone might ring and I might have to go run home, I thought he meant to New York. Like,
No.
My dad shanked some guy.
That's possible.
You know,
still.
Man, like, because...
Stole a parking spot.
It has not been 9 months, shank. Bro, has it?
Yeah, dude, December 6th is the due date.
That's like in like 2 weeks.
Dude, at this point,
you're telling me 9 months
like
went
10
by?
Days.
I know.
It's 10 days.
I know. Well, granted, like, we didn't announce it for like the first month or so, but still.
8 months.
You were one of the first to find out.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking sometime in the spring, Steve will be a dad because.
No.
Because we were on the Steel
Winter,
Panther
baby.
Tour. We were on the Steel Panther Tour, the three shows that we did.
Hey, it's a tour, counts.
I'm going to say we were on our Steel Panther Tour.
There you go.
I'm with that.
And you were one of the first people I broke the news to. Yeah.
I can't believe that's been.
Mm-hmm.
Man, time flies.
Yeah, 2019 started slow as F.
And then it just flew by.
And then it just, yeah, like just hit the turbo.
But yeah, so now it's like at any given moment, that phone call will happen. I mean, at this moment, she could easily go into labor and it would be fine. Like
Selfishly, I really want it to happen on the air.
It would be pretty good. It would be pretty good.
Like, just the fact that the baby was spoiled on the air by BJ.
Yeah.
Like, so many things have happened around this.
That'd be dope.
It would be.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't predict these things, but
I mean, it would be great if you had to dash out mid-show because then, honestly, the entire listening base of BJ and Mig.
BJ would be so
lost. Would be
so
like,
lost.
I was listening this morning,
and
dude.
I'd be on speakerphone the whole time, you know. I might have to grab
actually, the thought of BJ flailing for the last 2 hours of the show is kind of funny to me as well.
He would straight up flail. And it's like, well, we still got 2 hours, BJ. We got to wait.
Yeah. That'd be so bonkers. Part of me selfishly. So this weekend, I've got a big wrestling weekend. It's insane. So Friday night, I'm wrestling Cubby at 3-2-1 Battle. That's going to be a blast.
Nice.
Because he's one of the best guys, and I'm looking forward to that one. Saturday afternoon, I'm in Everett. Wrestling at Without a Cause Wrestling, also wrestling Cubby and Kingpin Johnny Flynn, a bowler, a bear, and a local celebrity walking to a bar.
that moment in time was amazing. I can't even keep track of what just happened there.
That's at 2 p.m. at the VFW Hall over in Everett on Saturday. And then as soon as that's done, I'm heading over to Seattle to ring announce for Defy.
Whoa, dude.
Because Saturday and Sunday is Defy Wrestle Summit. It's a big thing they're doing with some other promotions from across the country.
Oh,
I'll
cool.
fly in. I'm the ring announcer, which is exciting, great exposure. But it's like a super wrestling weekend.
Yeah, like, you're running and gunning, man.
And so I got to make sure, like, whenever I wrestle, to give my phone to the ring announcer and say, look, if it shows up, my wife is calling. She never calls.
You stop everything.
You get on the microphone. I don't even care if I'm about to win the match or if
Migs,
I'm about to
lose
the
baby.
Match. You stop the match and say, Migs, you got to go. You're having a baby. Because that'll be an epic moment.
Dude, that'd be so amazing.
Actually, again,
right?
That's the same kind of thing.
We just want to interrupt whatever you're doing professionally.
Yeah. Rev and I want to disrupt you with your thing in any way we can.
Well, I got to make sure I have like good notes for the Defy shows because if I get called away, they're going to have to slip someone else in to fill in for me.
You find out later that you're in the ring and Rev and I had gone to your house and held her down and just started pushing on her belly.
Yeah. Come on.
I feel like I got to work that into a promo too. Just like, hey, you losers, I'm bringing a good kid into the world or something stupid.
The bad seed is born.
That's right.
Local celebrity Steve Diggs' child.
So shout out to my buddy Mari Grande, Damien. Who makes belts. He made the verified belt, right?
Yes.
So he made the belt for me of that insanely nice title that I now use in my matches. Well, he's like, hey, man, can I get the belt back? Because there's a little paint smudge, and I was hoping that I could clean.
Oh, he's going to detail the belt.
Clean
I know,
it up.
Yeah, it's a nice guy.
That's so cool.
I was like, absolutely. So I bring it to him, and then he gives it back. He goes, hey, man, we have a problem. And I'm like, what happened? And he gives me back the bag, and the bag feels like kind of empty. It doesn't have the belt. And he goes, well, part of the process is like this new process I read about. When you finish through the finish, you put it through the dryer, and it helps make everything just sit right. He's like, I didn't know, though, that it could potentially shrink it. And he handed it back. I'm like, what are you talking about?
You now
about?
Have a belt for your infant.
I pull out of the bag.
Yeah.
He made an exact replica of the belt for my child.
Oh, teeny tiny. Yeah.
That's now, so
tag
cool.
team champion.
I haven't posted.
Are you kidding?
I think the pictures are out there on his Instagram, but I'm waiting until the baby's born because a couple of rockaholics hooked me up with that silly, funny black t-shirt with the fake baby. The arms with that fake sleeves, fake tattoo sleeves, like it's like a tan color.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put the baby in it and then put the belt on, and we're gonna wear matching. I'll wear a black shirt.
He's starting already.
Right.
It's amazing. There,
it
dude.
Is great.
Like I was cracking a joke, and then he holds up that picture. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh,
just to give oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the size of a belt buckle.
That's amazingly cool.
And
look at the
so
detail
cool.
and craftsmanship.
I mean,
it's really
so
well made.
It's dead on, exactly the same. Except instead of having my Twitter handle on the side, it says a little chiclet. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Dude, but your belt looks so tiny in those giant hands.
How great is that now I'm going to have a belt for my child? Because he even put up a little certificate. I should read the certificate because the certificate's pretty funny. So he hands this to me, and like, I try my best not to like be emotional around people.
You're
like,
here we go.
Belt.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, where the hell? Well, okay,
did
that's real funny, but where's my belt? No. So as I'm looking at this, like, it's just like tears start coming out of my eyes.
Of course.
This is the most like, so as he's doing it, he says, be it hereby declared. And he's got this fancy.
Oh my God. Dude, the certificate is amazing. Yes. You got to frame that and put it in the nursery. Yeah. Dude.
He says, be it hereby declared, the honor and privilege of being recognized as a verified champion comes not just from the social media behemoths and hallowed eldritch algorithmic gods.
How's that public school education working out for you, Steve?
It's also private as well. Neither worked.
Oh dear.
It's also passed on by blood. Therefore, let it be known that Baby Migs, a.k.a. the little chicklet, shall wear this title as their given birthright. The title belt designed and crafted by Mari Grande and Daniel Kaminsky, made possible contributions by Kaylin Ullman, that's his girl, and she's awesome. Krishna Verghaven, he's a good dude. I always run into him at 3-2-1 battle. He's been on Jeopardy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brandon Jacobson, another great dude that comes to 3-2-1 battle, and Jay Middleton. You remember Jay?
Yeah, yeah.
Used
Jay's
to work
awesome.
Here,
yeah.
And he also is a part of 3-2-1 battle's family, and mm-hmm. they all chipped in to make this.
That's so amazing. Cool. That's really
We actually
really
have
cool.
audio of Steve's reaction from when he received that.
We do, huh? Wow. I did not know that Murray recorded it. You douche.
Sorry, I just wanted to find That's a reason awesome. To play Brock Lesnar crying like a girl.
So now that we're out of the woods when it comes to live day, Glenn, I noticed that there's some exciting stuff happening for you and the Damage Done.
Yeah, man. This Saturday and Sunday, we're going back into the studio.
Back.
And we're going to be tracking some stuff that essentially we plan to give away to our fans for free.
Are you going to do a version of Time After Time like you did at Live Day?
Yeah, okay, you know what? I'll let that cat out of the bag. Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. We are. That crushed me, man. That was great.
Thank you. Yeah, we...
What a great way to end Live Day was that performance. I wish I would say go online and listen to it,
but you
thank
can.
You copyright laws.
Yeah, right.
So that's stupid.
You can
stupid.
Find... There's
kinda, on your Facebook.
Yeah, there's shoddy versions of it out on the web from whoever captured it on their cell phone camera. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
A couple of different people caught it, but the one that Jeff Eason, our bass player, was sharing was the best
That's
of the ones
one.
That were captured because it was far enough back from the stage that you had a good mix, but it also wasn't in the back of the room where people near the bar were listening but also chatting. But even my buddy Charlie Lormay shot one like that, and it was kind of great. You could hear people chatting, which is fine. It's cool. It's what the whole day is about. But in that moment when we got really, really quiet, they all got quiet.
I'm That's
like,
cool.
I'm like, oh, man, even the people at the bar were like, shh. And I'm like, really? Thanks. But yeah,
you're vibing on it, man.
It wasn't originally one of the songs we had planned to track. And then one of the songs we planned to track turned out to be a much bigger project. Like if we had 3 days in studio to just focus on building that piece of material. So then I was like, well, dude, why don't we just do this Time After Time? And yeah, because we put a lot of work into kind of reworking that thing. And people really seem to love it. So yeah, we Oh, there you go. You got the audio of it.
I'll give it a little sample. Get actually to the where we got like some. So cool.
Thanks.
And no guitars, man. Piano, bass, and drums.
That was
very Ben Folds of you guys.
There was two reasons for that. And actually, we had things figured out in a great way this year, but usually guitars on live day are a nightmare because everyone switches out amps. There's no way to tell what the volume's going to be like. You have no way to check your monitor mix. So to get around that, I was like, I'm not going to play guitar.
Smart.
Live day. And I was like, here's what we'll do. Let's do the whole song on Baby Grand. And Lance was like, well, dude, I can pull up all those 80s tones. And I'm like, nah, let's reimagine it. And once we discussed it, he's like, oh, dude, okay, I get what you're maybe suggesting here. So we worked it out where it's just Lance on Baby Grand piano and then Jeff Eason and Louis Williams on bass and drums. And I just sang it.
That's
and it
cool.
came off really intimate and cool and kind of, I wanted to reimagine the song. Because there was all those amazing tribute bands that played and nailed it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, like, Kyle Court and the guys from Superfecta got up there and crushed, I think it was Maneater.
Yes,
but they rocked it up. Wyatt mm-hmm. Only and the Wreckage got up and destroyed Rebel Yell. You know, those guys rocked it. I forget what Custom covered, but everyone was kind of staying true to form, and I really wanted to do, like, okay, if it's all 80s, let's not do something obvious where it's a rock song that
right.
we would nail, right? Let's do something unique and different, so yeah, we were like Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time, and everyone's like, God, I love that song, and I'm like, yeah, it's a great piece of music. I want to do it without guitars. They're like, huh? And I'm like, nah, man. And so we put that together, and we're going to track that and release it to fans.
Cool.
It's one of the pieces of material we'll be doing this coming weekend. We'll be in the studio.
Bonus
and,
content.
And Mr. Ryan Healy from Hemp Films is going to come down and film the whole studio experience.
Cool.
And probably put together a little teaser.
Nice.
A little teaser vid. Yeah, Ryan does such amazing work. If anyone hasn't seen the most recent Wide Only in the Wreckage video for Silver Bullet, just beautiful work Ryan does. So he's gonna put together a little teaser for what we're doing, and then we'll have two videos. It'll just be us in the studio creating the songs that we'll release.
That's so really cool.
That's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'm in the studio, and then of course Friday night is the second Beating Heart event.
Yep.
Put on by the West Seattle Wrecking Crew in honor of Joel Eggert. Phil Kennedy, Joel's daughter Rhiannon, the guys from Virginia Street Revival, Jonas Beckman from 10 Miles Wide. We were all up here with Kevin Deers Sunday night talking about the event.
Stoic FB.
So the bands are, you know, so you've got Jonas and Jake from 10 Miles Wide, Stoic FB, Virginia Street Revival.
I like that they call it 5 miles wide on the flyer.
Yeah, I've been joking about that.
That's funny.
The guys in 10 miles were like, well, what's this? And I'm like, hey, man, just so you know, I booked John and Jake. I had nothing to do with the rebranding.
You should call it 5 miles thin.
Well, then it turned into 1 mile wide, and there's been a running joke about that.
That's funny.
But then in Kevin...
Kevin
Redlick is going to be opening the show. But and then Jenny Jet Lawrence, she has a nickname Jet. She's being flown down from Alaska again for the show. She's the woman that received Joel's heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
wow, yeah.
Last year she was at the event, and like the news crew was there filming her, talking with Rhiannon and talking with Zach. That's Joel's son and daughter, and here's the woman that has their father's heart. I mean, it's some
damn
pretty epic
stuff. Last year was super powerful when she came out. Yeah,
it was. It's something else, man. So that's going to be at Drunky Two Shoes Friday night. So
it's
you'll
a
be
great
all
name
full
for
of
a place.
And it's a killer place.
Where's it at?
It's in White Center.
Okay.
You know, if you're in West Seattle, it's just a stone's throw, right?
Mm-hmm.
But great place and a bunch of great bands, a lot of really cool people. I know Phil Kennedy's killed himself trying to put this thing together, but that's going to be a really cool event. That's Friday night, and then I'm in the studio Saturday and Sunday, man. So I've got a Migs-esque weekend ahead of me, but
busy.
And then upcoming as well, so you're going to be a part of a show with the Reunited Point One.
Yeah, so Chase and I started talking about that, because, you know, Chase and Keith Wright, they play with Aisha, and
yes.
I had checked her stuff out and been to see a couple of her shows.
She's great.
I was like, dude, I'm loving this. I want to do a show with her. So I'd talked, of course, with Chase and Keith, and I'm like, dude, I'd like to do a show with Aisha. And then Chase was like, well, hey, man, I want to do a Headbangers Holiday show and fly Darren Howard up from L.A., and we're going to do a Reunited Point One. I don't think Point One's played together in years. And I'm like, dude, I'm in. So he was like, well, I'll take care of the venue if you'll put together a proposed schedule and we kind of rally the support acts kind of thing. So Yeah, Chase and I kind of built that out together. And yeah, that is December 13th at Club Sur. And if you go to glencannon.net, I got the tickets for sale on my website. So it'll save you like $5, right? You could, the advance tickets are 15 day of.
Hey,
it's
that
20.
Helps, man.
So yeah, you can go to my website, glencannon.net, and buy those tickets and I'll mail them to you. I think it costs like $250 as a mailing fee, but that's a flat fee. If you buy 7 tickets, it's just $2.50.
Fair.
So before you go to Eventbrite and pay a hefty fee, or before you pay $20 at the door, you can come right to my website and I'll mail you the damn tickets.
Will you also put lipstick on and kiss the envelope that it's sent off?
I'll have Tawny do that, because me with lipstick on is way too, I've got a
Buffalo
list of,
Bill?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the list of people. It's from, I think, Happy Madison or something. Where
Would
he's,
you rock me?
Where I'd he's got the list me. Of people on the wall. He's going to kill Rob Schneider sitting there putting lipstick on. Mm-hmm. He scratches Adam Sandler's name off the list.
Yeah.
Me with lipstick on is a little too murderous. So, but yeah, that's what I've got going on, man. So the Beating Heart benefits Friday night. It's going to be an incredible event. Really, really special. Saturday and Sunday, Damage Done is back in the studio creating what's going to be free content, both video and audio, free
nice.
Content for our fans, just to kind of thank them for a great year. And then, yeah, December 13th, Headbangers Holiday will be the final Damage Done show of the year. And then we've got some amazing stuff coming up next year. So, yeah, I've got a
next decade
full plate.
Look at that,
right,
man.
2020. It's crazy, man. I'm dealing with stuff clear out into April of 2020.
I started dealing with
back in September. So,
and it's not gonorrhea.
No, it's not. It's not, you know. I'm taking my Valtrex and most of the sores have cleared up. So,
most.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So I go quickly, I'm trying to grab something on Instagram, and I was like, I get distracted because I see a comment. And
No, turd in the punch
bowl. So BJ Migs page, BJ posts a cool picture of us with Ryan Gustafson, who's the president of the XFL Seattle Dragons, the new football team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting that we're having this team being a part of the community, and we're giving them some love, helping drum up some interest for this team and get people out.
Is that like the minor league? For the NFL?
They don't want to be called that, but it's kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah, because
I know nothing about
it. Yeah.
It's where a lot of players that weren't able to maybe make a team, were on the practice squad, or never got drafted, they now have an opportunity. It's going to be a brand new league called the
XFL. So, like, Kaepernick can't play there, but
he could if he wanted to. if he wanted to.
I'm only taking that pot shot because I see everyone else make fun of him. Yeah. I know nothing about
the guy,
dude. I just jumped on the wagon. If I could put that cat emoji out through the mic, I'd do that too.
So,
or emoji, whatever it is, meme.
So BJ posts, thanks to Ryan, president of the Dragons, stopping by, giving us a football, who's ready for kickoff. And somebody writes, how many people at the studio are actual season ticket holders for the XFL Dragons?
Shut up.
Why doesn't that person just volunteer their credit card so you can buy season tickets?
And I'm just like, what? Now we're going to shame people, maybe because maybe money's tight, maybe can't afford to go to every game, maybe one of us is a season ticket holder and doesn't need
just
to prove
saying
it
you
to
guys aren't really fans, but like, dude, you guys do all kinds of amazing stuff for the Seahawks. Are you a season ticket holder for the Seahawks, Steve?
Right, I was.
Yeah,
I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, were you really?
I used to be, yeah, and I finally, when I was getting married, I was like, this is just too much.
Dude, a buddy of mine.
And then I went back in the waiting list, and now I'm like number 40,000.
The hockey team, he showed me where his seats were. So he showed me where his seats were, and he got a year pass for the hockey team, and he asked me to guess how much. And I said 5K, and he did the eyebrows up, and it was, I believe, around 50.
Yeah,
and I went
But that locks me for several years.
My God,
I can't afford to be a season ticket holder for hockey,
dude. I haven't made $50,000 in a year in a decade or more.
Well, and
since I left telecom, I have not made that kind of money. When I left telecommunications, I dropped squarely into the $35,000 a year bracket. I'm what you call low income. Sunset. Yeah.
So you're not going to go look at Ashley's and take a city on
Not unless I get some government assistance. Like, I bought my coupons. Can I?
I'm sure they'll help you out. There.
They got government assistance for that?
I'm the guy that's friends with people who have season tickets, and I'm like chipping in for games that they can't go to. Like, I'm that season ticket holder, including I'm also friends with someone from the NHL team that put me into like a crew of also other people that are
a
in
pool
my
pool of people.
Yeah. There's like a few hockey buddies that were all like technically one season ticket holder, and there's like 10 of us, you know. But I can't afford that.
No, so
like,
man,
I give him credit though. He just direct messaged me and said I deleted the comment. He's like, I was actually curious. I'm like, what, the way you say it, you sound like a dick.
Well, I always say the problem with text is there's no inflection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So my response just was, not sure why that comment matters, man. Don't be that guy.
Right. Yeah,
so then
try to be better, man.
There's no inflection. You got to be careful what you put on the interweb, because there's no inflection.
None.
And the interpretation is up to the reader. And if that reader is having a bad day or assumes that you're trolling them, guess what?
And the problem is that most of social media is miserable anyway.
God,
so default setting is that this person's a dick.
But how do you take it? I mean, when someone says, how many people at the station are actual season ticket holders for the Dragons?
I take that as a
that's a
dick swing.
Comment.
Yeah, that's
and
a swing.
Yeah.
And the only word there that it could have completely changed the tone of it was
actual.
The actual.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If it was
so.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like those
or
two words.
If he said,
how we're constructing the troll comment.
Even if he had said,
deconstructing trolls.
Like, man, I'm a season ticket holder.
Any of you guys.
Or any of you guys. Mm-hmm. With, and then this is the thing, and people sometimes make fun of me, but the power of the emoji. Yep. Put a smiley emoji in there. I heard
that. Is that a fart?
Yeah, it was.
I love it. I said, the power of the emoji.
That's the fart emoji.
It's like I summoned Migs twice.
Yeah, there's another
you
one.
You okay, man?
Yeah.
You know, I've been eating a lot
spotting?
Of beef.
You have been eating a lot of meat lately.
All I do is eat meat now.
I know.
20 ounces a day.
Yeah.
Is that some kind of a, what's
one's
that?
One's a Damon diet.
No
is
euphemism there.
Is it Kerrigan diet? Was it keto?
Oh.
No.
Keto? Caitlin?
It's
what's
keto.
His?
It's keto.
It's not a keto diet, because that means like I'm eliminating.
Eat everything but
carb.
The head. It's the keto diet?
It's just, I'm eating meat all the time, and then it's all different types of protein.
Wow.
It's a long story. But at some point, though, I might actually bring our, if it works, I'll bring my buddy Damon
need
in.
Need a little stool softener
but
there, Steve?
It actually is working. I noticed a physical change, like just in my upper body, and also my strength. I've gotten a lot stronger with how much weight I could push. I'm totally going.
That's cool, man.
I'm going jacked and tan, man. That's what the goal is.
Jacked and tan.
I don't know about the tan part, but.
Oh, okay. I was like, are you spray tanning or something there, buddy? Because you ain't going to get it in the winter here.
So, yeah, just don't be that guy.
Totally.
Don't try and be like, because you have something that you're going to shame other people for not having it.
Ooh, look what I have.
Like, what do you accomplish? Just don't
nothing.
Be that guy.
I know. I've been having a lot of fun recently on social media. And it's like people, just like if you think that your stupid little meme is going to, I don't know, prove a point or anything whatsoever, just don't post it. Because all I'm doing right now is just like I see someone post a meme that's like, this is going to be the be-all, end-all of this topic. I'm like, no, I'm going to unfollow
There's
you.
There's a thing that
unfriend you.
I've stumbled across, and apparently they're beta testing it. It's out there, but it may or may not go global, on Facebook called Take a Break.
Oh.
So you don't have to unfriend. You don't have to unfollow. It doesn't stir up any kind of nonsense. You can just fix it so that person's stuff isn't in your face anymore.
Oh, yeah, you
the
can
mute
snooze
button.
And you can snooze them for 30 days.
I recently...
Oh, I just unfollow them.
It was a thing where I didn't want to create drama. I didn't want to add to the S storm. I just went, I cannot take this anymore. And I hit take a break.
I
and I will say
this
that it's been nice because I get on my news feed and I don't have to worry about
it's all new
what I
to
might
unfollow.
See. Yeah.
I get
it's
so,
been take a break.
I get so annoyed with
give
social
me
media.
A
I'm
break.
Like, I should just be done with it. I should be done with it. And then I go on Instagram, like see that response, and then the first thing that shows up on my feed is this. And I'm like, I can't take a break from social media. When there's beautiful bikini priesters out there like her.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Shout out to Nikki Baby.
I saw a Twitter a little gif of Rachel Barley, and that kind of perked me up. So
yeah,
you know,
Rachel's fancy.
Every once in a while, it's kind of nice.
Rachel's doing good for herself.
Yeah,
good for Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel's the best. But I'm gonna do a couple of voicemails and emails, and then we'll pop on out of here.
All right.
I haven't done those in a while.
It's the Mixcast. It's the Mixcast.
I noticed that, like, we haven't been getting as many voicemails, text messages, and
people
emails.
People have given up.
And I don't blame them. So
people
we need to get back
up.
On the stick.
How far behind are we?
Like, the past 5 weeks or so,
some of them were just so dated. I said, let's just start fresh. I was overwhelmed.
And sorry, everybody. I mean, you got to realize, coming into Live Day,
It's been chaotic,
you know,
at best.
Rev and Steve were getting pulled left, right, and center. So it was
I was trying to make him look better,
but we, you know, we had to do a bunch of quick shows, and then a couple more than once. So like, I'd be the guy that's like, guys, I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Are we doing 2 hours? Because if we're doing a half an hour, and then you guys reply like, dude, I'm with that. I'm swamped. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm swamped.
To all our fans, for all the times that I've called out, sorry. But that's why there were so many short shows where we didn't get to voicemails and stuff. Because honestly, man, like with Live Day, you can't imagine what's going on around here. Like, and Steve was getting pulled a million directions, too.
So we're trying to get back to that sweet spot of like an hour 20. Like,
so
we've been
send
doing
stuff back again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, voicemail, call us.
Probably
call
text
us.
Messages, emails, 253-271-4787.
There's a higher
email.
Chance now.
I'm like Migs' Sarah Huckabee, you know?
The Migscast at gmail.com.
Wow.
I'll be your Huckabee. All right, we'll start off with our first voicemail, which is fresh, right off the presses.
Fresh.
It came in this morning, I believe. We're right around that time. Play.
F you guys, you never read voicemails.
Hey, what's up, Steve, Glenn, Rev, it's Cheyenne Longfox.
Yeah!
You guys are doing well. Just wanted to drop a message and wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving and just a happy holidays in general. And I just wanted to say, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but, like, there are times where nothing's going right, where, you know, I'm just having a terrible day, as we all sometimes do. And there are certain episodes of this podcast that, like, I can listen to over and over again.
Wow.
And it'll turn the day around no matter what's happened. Ones that come to mind are the one where, like, Thrill had, like, a giant maple bar and hung out with you guys for 2 hours.
Dude, that one was fantastic. I instantly remember that. He held that maple bar for the entire podcast.
He was like a conductor. He wiggled it at us while he yelled.
I don't think he ever finished that maple bar. I think he still has it in his hand.
That had to be one of the greatest, but they're all great. But anyway, much love to you guys. Like I said, have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
And Merry Christmas as well. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
I'm glad we played that before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right.
Timely.
And there's a, I mean,
would have been rad like before the new year we play that. How Migs cast of us.
And there's a chance. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen when the baby arrives, because obviously our show
you're not going to sleep for 8 months. That's going to happen.
That, of course.
Ever.
Our show is going to be on a paternity leave until the new year. So depending on, we're all hoping that the baby comes on the 6th. That way we get a whole month off practically.
Basically, yeah.
But, you know, whenever the baby comes, then the show's in best of modes. But I feel like I'll try and figure it out through technology, maybe through FaceTime video or something like that, and I'll patch it into a board and record it. I'd love to be able to still do a couple of episodes of the Migscast while we're on vacation. I say that now, and I'll be like, guys, don't even call me. Don't
I
even
haven't
talk
slept.
To me. Even,
if I see you, I'll cut
you. Don't even think about
I
me.
I can't wait till he's trying to record in his living room, and then there's just
I want a podcast with the baby.
Yeah. That.
All right, 2 minutes in, I'm like, oh, she just pooped herself again, boys. I'm out.
Yeah. She sprayed and it hit the wall. Yeah. I'm out.
Sid's
they
pissed.
Do that, man. They do that.
Lulu's licking it. It's a disaster.
Oh! They do that as well.
Fiber.
It's a different type of Damon diet.
Can you give babies fiber?
All right, let's check out another voicemail.
I don't know. It's so irritating to me. When
people poop on
she's
the walls?
Back.
Is this the hot girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You get an email from a friend or family member or whatever, and they're sending you a joke, and they end it with, ha-ha, or LOL. Dude, you just sent me the joke. I know it's a joke. You don't have to tell me that I have to laugh at it. I mean, come on. You basically just ruined the joke by doing that.
But I think they're
like
indicating that their laughter. Like,
and this goes back to
dude,
the emojis.
I fell down and my penis made it sound like a cracking knuckle, LOL. I'm letting you know that I'm laughing. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I think this, look, I love you for listening, but like, chill out. Like, seriously, this is what's pissing you off,
if
LOL.
If that's what's pissing you off, you've got a pretty charmed
life. You
got
to start replying like, I don't know why you quote LOL. I didn't think this joke was funny at all. It fell pretty flat. Try harder.
Ha-ha and LOL to things that I don't even know or I don't even think are funny. I just want people to know that I'm being jovial.
It's like the emoji.
It's going back to that emoji
conversation.
It's like
conversation. The emoji, man.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to make sure somebody knows that this is a lighthearted conversation and not to read into it. Not well, she sounds like someone who reads into anything.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for listening to the Migscast.
Call in anytime you'd like to be judged.
ROTFL.
SMH.
You do sound adorable though, darling.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we got one more voicemail with you.
Oh, man, this is driving me crazy. My in-laws will not leave. They show up, and there's a beginning to it, but I don't know where the end is. It's just they just show up.
My gosh, I love this guy.
I married your daughter, sir, not you and your wife.
But I don't know where the end is. It's just they just show up, and they hang out for days sometimes.
Oh,
sometimes
days?
Multiple weeks. And they don't really? They don't let me know. They act like it's no big deal. Like my home is a bed and breakfast, and I'm supposed to just put up with it. I like them, but I don't like them in my house.
Dude, it's a matter of like. To me, man, my home is my sanctuary.
Yeah.
And so there's only so much allotted time until I don't care who it is. And you're like, man, I need to be able to walk out into my living room in my underwear and stretch out on my couch
right.
comfortably.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone's now seated here. I haven't been able to stretch out my couch in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because everyone's sitting around. And you use the last of the TP. I had to tear apart the cardboard spool and use that on my backside. There was no clean towels. I had to use my shorts, which already smelled of testes. Please, please move on. It's weird to me.
That's so funny.
Bro, here's my advice. You need to talk to your wife and be like, honey, look.
She needs to drop the
ball.
Can
you bring it up to them? Like, hey, guys, it's not that we don't love having you, but we love having our private time and our privacy, too. Like, but don't be the one.
Or just watch TV naked all the time.
I was just going to say,
Come out nude and fully erect.
Start banging as loud as possible.
Oh.
Like, headboard, just like smashing it. Like, you don't even have to bang. Just like smash the headboard and just yell things.
And yell, who's your daddy a lot.
A lot.
Especially when her father's in that room.
What if they're like really new age weird couple where suddenly they're standing in the doorway nude as well? Like, we can get in on this. I mean, you don't know.
That's like I got a feeling that stuff. I don't think that's going
to. I got a feeling that the wife would probably have hipped him to that. Yeah. Yo, my parents are a little weird.
Parents are kind of weird.
Glenn Cannon, West Virginia, born and raised.
Glenn Cannon, always turning it into a penthouse for him.
I never
a twisted
penthouse.
I never thought this would happen.
Clicking on the taboo category at xnxx.com.
My mother-in-law was standing there nude, holding only a broken bottle.
Wow.
Mixed parts of arousal and fear washed over me.
More fear than anything else.
I was about to say, more arousal.
way more fear on this side. Right. Two kinds of people in this room.
Yeah, Glenn's right. Talk to your wife.
Yeah, have your wife take care of that, man. Just be like, baby, it's not that I don't love them. They've been here 3 weeks. And that to me is just bizarre. Like, my wife's parents have come to visit. My parents have come to visit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a, hey, from the 4th to the 12th, we're going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it must be they must live in the same town, I'm guessing, or something. Because if they're just hanging out for weeks on end, it's like, what are you doing?
It's like my parents just hit me up and said, hey, we want to come visit when the baby's born, obviously.
And there's
like,
a date range.
Yeah, they picked a date that they're going to come. And I give them credit because like there was that panic. We've talked. Like, and I was like, I mean, we have a nice sized house, but it's not huge. And it's just a lot of stress having more than just us in that house, and then with a baby in it, it's going to be really like a lot to absorb having my mom. And we've also gutted out the guest bedroom. There's no longer a bed in there. It's now just a couch, a TV, and then the baby room is now what was once the office. So like we've moved stuff around. Like we have an inflatable bed, but it's not going to fit my mom and dad, nor would I want them to be on an air mattress, right?
Right.
So it's like, geez, man, what are we going to do? And they didn't even give us the chance to make that decision. Like, let us know what hotels are nearby.
Yeah.
And my wife, you could just see the distress.
Good call, yeah.
My folks have done the thing where they'll rent like an Airbnb out for a week. They're like, mm-hmm. My mom's like, your father and I rented this house 3 blocks from you. And we've got a rental car, and I'm like, oh.
Perfect.
Okay,
yeah,
of course,
solved.
You guys are always welcome to come stay here.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Like,
it's the right way to do it.
Well, these days, man, with the existence of these little rental cottages and Airbnbs.
It helps so much.
It does help so much, and they are kind of everywhere. Mm-hmm. So instead of, mom, don't stay at the downtown Marriott, you're 20 minutes away, or you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of nice.
Well, it's like my parents, like, we don't want to stay far, because I was like, well, there's some nice hotels in Tacoma. Like, there's some really cool ones that
totally,
would be kind of fun for them, like, around, like, some cool stuff. Like, no, we want to stay nearby. I'm like, man, in Puyallup? let's try and figure this one out. There's like the Motel 8 and the Motel 36 that's not as good as the Motel 8.
I was going to say, like, wouldn't you rather check him into an exciting hotel in Tacoma?
Oh, yeah.
Like, well,
there's a couple exciting motels.
Yeah, the one motel by my place has been shut down.
Do they have hourly rooms?
The Gunshot and Hookers Hotel?
Basically, yeah. Because of excessive meth usage.
I love meth. They checked in for four days.
They weren't cooking there. They were smoking so much it seeped into the walls.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Dude.
It was brutal. But it's shut down now.
They found that there's a hotel like right by where we live, and there's also like a Denny's or an IHOP that are in the same development of it all.
Nice.
So, because I know my parents are not going to want to like wait for us to get them. They're going to want to go like to the local diner and walk there. And I'm like, well, this is perfect. You don't even have to cross the street. It's in the same development.
Perfect.
You know what I mean? So
go downstairs to Denny's.
Legit a 5-minute drive from our house.
Sweet.
So it all works out perfect. But that was nice. Because I'm excited my mom and dad are coming to see the baby. But at the same time,
newborn and your parents for 14 days might be a bit much.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it will.
Old Steve will be back on the sauce in no time.
My wife had to talk me out of it because at first we were going to come 1 week where I have a big wrestling show going on like right around then. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. I'll take them to the... My wife's like, do you not remember how much of a rut you were in when your mom told you to grow up and stop wrestling? You're really going to try and bring her?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I kind of want to have them have to deal...
Watch this.
And I was like, my wife brought up, she's like, you think that's funny right now.
Yeah.
Until like they start yelling.
Are you hoping to convert her and make her a fan?
No, I'm hoping to scare the living crap out of them. Because my wife's like, I know you're going to do something stupid and like something more dangerous because they're there just to freak them out.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're right.
Totally would.
Let's not do this.
Yeah, you'll have little razors hidden in your wristband. So you
gig in my head. Yeah, do it. Oh, that'd be so great.
The old school crimson mask.
And then I'll throw me out of the ring. I'll land in my dad's lap. I'm like, this is your fault.
Look him in the eye
and be like, I have hepatitis.
Yeah.
And now so do you.
And I look at my mom, who's all grown up now. Your son's bleeding his art. Okay, it's gotten too weird.
Gonna go
no, not really.
Terribly.
I'm still right on board.
Somebody sent a message, actually. Hey, Migs, did you happen to catch Gregory Iron's podcast where he completely put you over? I did. Gregory Iron's the guy who wrestled in Portland, right? He's like a fly-in guy. I was super nervous about it.
Oh, yeah.
Spent the weekend with him, went to his seminar to learn from him, talked a lot with him, and just kind of got to know the guy, right? And then we put on a match, and I thought it was really well. And then he goes on his podcast and just...
Makes fun of you?
Yes. It was rude. No, really? No, I'm kidding. No, put you over means like, that means like complimented me in the world of wrestling.
I put you over. I don't understand that.
Put you over his knee.
It's like bent me over.
Yeah,
like,
it's exactly
this doesn't
like
sound good, man. Like, where's this going? Oh,
it
that guy totally
good,
bent you over. No, it doesn't. I mean, they say it's a muscle it'll stretch, but honestly.
Well, I was ready for it. Now that I'm after 40, I'm now ready for that.
Okay.
And boy, does he have big fingers. No,
I'll quote Arnold Schwarzenegger who said, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah.
So just be careful, man.
So here's a little clip of Gregory Iron talking about me on his podcast, which is called Iron on Wrestling.
And another person that did the seminar that I really appreciated being there was a guy by the name of Steve Migs. You might not know him, but he's very...
I love his co-host. Like,
Nope.
Why would I know him?
Nope.
No, of course I don't know him.
See,
I love that guy.
It makes me realize when I'm in that moment,
awesome.
I don't say anything. I usually don't comment at all. But I love that.
Nope. No idea who this guy is. And when I first heard that, I'm like, oh boy, this guy's not
going to
like
me.
But no.
Big in the Seattle area. He's the biggest DJ.
Well, that's true.
It's true,
in the Seattle area. And so he's been on the rock station there for 2 decades. And I think he's 45 years old. And he decided...
That probably hurt.
No, I told him, though. I told him my age.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm 45.
I should have told him I was 41.
It's like joking with myself.
No, if I didn't tell him, that would have hurt.
Dude,
but he asked
I think
me
he's
how
50, 51 60, years old.
Yeah,
pretty amazing he's doing this at 53 years old.
That old fart.
On his second hip.
You know.
To start pro wrestling at 41.
Okay.
And
okay.
I love this guy.
Yeah, Captain Nope is really like,
Captain
he's
nope.
got concern.
Yeah, this guy's skeptical, and I appreciate that. Like, he wasn't trying to sugarcoat. He's like, all right, sure. Prove to me that I'm... But the best part is, like, by the end of it, the guy foreshadowing, but, you know, spoiler
alert. Golf, don't they call that a handicap?
So, yeah. So, he was at my seminar, And
so he wrestles?
This guy rules. Wow. Does he not? He's my favorite person
He's
ever.
The best.
Wrestles, yeah, like okay. pretty regularly in that area for like 3-2-1 Battle and Defy, a couple places in Washington there, and obviously we wrestled at DOA on Sunday, which is like, it was just kind of shocking because like, I don't know, like you've been around wrestling just as long as I have, and like you often find that like celebrities or just people in general who like don't, I guess they underestimate the rigors of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
They just think like, maybe if I pay some money or whatever, or like if I have this idea for a character, like I could just,
no, I could just be in. Right? Yeah, yeah.
But like Steve, like he, not only on Saturday, but on Sunday when I got the opportunity to wrestle with him, he really went above and beyond the call of duty of showing, it's like, look, I take this like very, very seriously. And he's right. Got like, he's got like your stereotypical, like, and I don't even want to say like stereotypical because that's like something like, you know, his mindset that he explained to me was like, he hates these disc jockeys that like take themselves too serious and like they think like they're the guy, you know what I mean? And so like, so in like a wrestling persona, they're like, oh, everyone should love me and I'm like this big celebrity. So like he plays off of that, like he play up this like, I'm verified on Twitter, like blah blah blah.
Oh, okay. Just, okay, like, so he's in on the joke.
Yes, and he has.
I
this,
like it.
He made this World Championship, which is why we're right. Having a match on Sunday.
See, I'm winning him over now. I think it's Aaron. Like it. Yeah,
took a while.
Yeah, now he's starting to understand the
he's
local
warming
celebrity.
Up. He's
yeah.
Warming up.
I respect that. I got to win the guy over.
Sunday.
Yeah,
so, like super cool belt, like very well done. I think it was.
Wait,
like,
what's the belt look like?
It's got a huge check mark on
it. Yes, it does.
It's got, oh, yeah, it's got the
yeah.
Little, it's got the little birds on the side.
Yes,
it's got his Twitter handle on it. So
good for him.
Like he told me, like it's basically a $1 million belt.
I'm going to follow him right now.
Do it. Do
yeah,
it.
So, yeah, winning him over.
We went from nope to following.
That's right.
This is Twitter, right?
I think it's
or is it Instagram?
Twitter and Instagram. I am Steve Miggs. So he came to the seminar and like he picked my brain and like damn it's fair. Very strange for me, even though I've been doing more and more seminars, to be in this position where it's very weird 13 years in that I'm in this position where I get to share my knowledge and like just psychology and about like characters and like the importance of positioning and timing in the ring, and like Steve was really all about absorbing that knowledge in. And then so come Sunday when we're working together, he just he shocked me, quite frankly. Like he had like great ideas for the match, and just we vibed really well, and probably went like 15 minutes, and it was probably one of my favorite matches I've had all year. So it just goes to show that, like, you know, if you want something, all you have to do is really work for it. And like Steve Miggs is an example of a guy who doesn't want anything handed to him just based on his celebrity status, you know. And did you just give Steve Miggs a follow?
He's followed.
Okay, good job. That was my weekend working with people that,
killer,
like, you know,
man.
They don't.
How cool is that, man?
That's really.
I was glowing.
That must make you feel like $1 million here.
You're
in that.
You're glowing
dude.
Right now,
no,
man.
I, like, I was super down just on, like, wrestling. Like, I'm like, am I doing it right? You know what I mean? Like, you always, any art, you always question if you're doing
totally,
it right.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And then I heard that, and I was just like, man, that meant a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he direct messaged me to say, hey, just to let you know, everything I said on that podcast, I 100% was lying. I just did that. No, he's like, I meant everything that I said. And I was like, he's a guy who travels around and wrestles big names. The fact that he considered our match to be one of his favorites.
That's cool.
Was unexpected, and it was just a happy thing to hear.
It makes sense that it'd be one of his favorites because he probably went into it with a fixed expectation.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a negative
like
way.
His co-host,
but,
like, okay.
But this guy,
yeah, exactly.
He's a radio personality that's gotten into wrestling. So, okay, this will be cool. This will be fun, and I'll carry him through the match. Mm-hmm. And then you brought it 110%, and he walked out going, wow,
yeah,
that was cool. So it makes sense that that would stand out to him more so maybe than someone that's been doing it 15 years.
Right.
Because he had an expectation. I don't mean that in a negative way.
No,
but he
true.
Had expectation, and then what you brought was so, you know, like just
unexpected.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, unexpected,
yeah.
But
it meant a lot to hear that. Yeah,
refreshing is what I was kind of searching
nice.
For a word
yeah.
Like it's just like, whoa, man, I didn't expect this. And
yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense that it would stand out, man.
And I'm
that's
not like
really
I, like
cool.
When I get in the ring, it's not even about for me like doing these crazy moves because I'm never going to be as fancy as some of these young up and coming guys. They're on another level. For me, it's about creating like moments and just stories and making people laugh or making people yell and just being that character. It's not about impressing people with a moveset. My moveset's very basic for a reason. It's like, I'm more about the stories in between the moves. You know what I mean?
Dude, you do what you do within the limitations
that.
Of what you can do.
Know what you can do and know what you can't do.
If you do what you can do well,
yep.
Then...
And being a pompous ass, I could do that well.
Dude, man,
you're pretty good at it.
Think about guitar players, right? Like,
right.
Kurt Cobain did what he could do well.
He wasn't trying to be Yngwie Malmsteen.
And there you go. Look at the result. It's incredible. So, yeah, man, you work within your skill set and you'll shine. It's cool.
And do it with heart.
Yeah, do it with heart. Yep. Exactly. And that, do
I mean,
it with heart.
Yep. 100. And everything I do is just like, it's. I mean it. And I'm, yeah, so it was cool. I hope he comes back to town soon. I think he will be. And hopefully we get to have a match here in Seattle. If you do want to see that match, though, DOA Pro Wrestling actually just posted it this morning.
Nice.
If you just go to DOA Pro Wrestling on YouTube, the most recent, I think it's called Burning Bridges was the name of the show. Just click on that. It's like a 2-hour video. Obviously, we don't wrestle for 2 hours. We're like 15 minutes of it. But I think it's about 40 or so minutes in, you'll find our match. Or
nice.
Maybe even less than that. Maybe like 35 minutes in. It's around that point. Just look for my ugly face and then just keep going backwards until you find the start of it. But it was a super fun match, and I'm glad that he had a good time. That was pretty damn awesome.
That's killer.
And
yeah,
I'm glad,
man,
that someone heard his podcast and him and his co-host Aaron just saying, oh, that guy cracked me up. I love that dude.
Aaron, his co-host?
Yeah. Nope.
But yeah, oh, boy. Within 6 comments, it's like, really? Where's he at? I'm following him now.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah!
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. All right, anything? Grit City Podcast.
Grit City Podcast. This week, we actually talk about the fact that there is a fault line under Tacoma.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we got
did you get Jesse?
Tacoma will be swallowed up by the
earth.
We
got this guy, Brian, from the Washington State Emergency Management Division, because every once in a while, we like to talk about the apocalypse and how, you know, Mount Rainier is going to explode and we're all going to die. And so we kind of get into that. But it's like safety preparedness stuff, which, like you really should be prepared and get those, you know, the bug out bags or whatever, which things you need. So, and plus we were really hungover, so it was kind of entertaining.
Weird to me that I can just picture like anti-hero standing on top of a smoldering crane playing a rock song as Tacoma is swallowed by the earth?
Those would be the guys that would do it. They'd just be blasting F you.
Yeah.
Tim would just be up
Tacoma
there, middle finger
swallowed,
in the air.
Man. Like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway, I just got a wonderful visual.
That absolutely makes sense on that end. But yeah, so we just talked about safety and all that different crazy stuff. And then the week before was Edgar Valentine, who does glass blowing in Tacoma, and he was on Netflix. There was one called Blown Away.
Yeah.
And you need to watch that.
Nice.
You need to watch
some of those guys do remarkable stuff.
Well, and also the simple fact of the matter, do you know that giant kiln that they use to cook the glass and to get it malleable?
Are you talking meth or are you talking about art?
I'm talking about art.
Okay, my bad.
But they all
AKA meth.
Yeah, they all insert it into the glory hole.
Is that really called
the
glory
hole? That's what they call it. And they literally say this every single episode multiple times on Netflix. It's called Blown Away. Oh, no. I was like, literally, it's like the first thing I say, I was like, all right, we're going to get this out of the way. And I just said,
because I can't keep a straight face.
Glory hole. And I couldn't, it brought, every time it was brought up, and it was brought up multiple times, I giggle every single time.
Actually, it's one of those funny things where you come to find out, like, everything has an origin, like raining cats and dogs is because back in the day when everyone had thatch roofs, the cats and dogs used to nestle in the thatch roofs to get warm.
Yeah.
And then when it rained real hard, they drop down out of the roof, raining cats and dogs. So everything has an origin.
Yeah.
So, you're putting a rod into a hot hole, and it's a glory hole.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, someone's like, what if I cut a hole in a wall and put my donger through there?
Yep.
And someone was on the other side to do stuff to it.
Yeah, so that's the great mature content that we have with the Grit City Podcast.
I love it.
Yeah, please follow you guys and subscribe and all that fun stuff, because it makes me feel better about my life.
And good news, I just saw this show up on social media. Faith No More just announced a 2020 tour.
Wow.
Well, I guess we'll be at that.
We'll see you there.
See you there.
Very awesome.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, we already mentioned your shows that are coming up. Yeah. Mentioned my wrestling shows coming up. We might as well just get on out of here. Thank you guys for being patient with us these last few weeks.
It's good to be back.
And you're going to have to be patient with us again, because probably we won't be doing many shows until the new year. but we'll do as many as we can.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Email us, themigscast@gmail.com. Yeah, we want to hear from you guys. I know we've slacked on it, but we do love interacting and getting the voicemails and the emails and the text messages. 253.
Migscast@gmail.com.
Yep. And then the number is 253-271-4787. Huge thanks to Andy and the boys at Irish Drive.
Yeah, thanks for the hats.
I'm going to wear that hat out of here,
and
man.
And the CDs. I'm going to listen to that.
Maybe my SpaghettiOs look, my hair down with the ball hat on.
Let's shoot for this. New year. We'll get those guys in the studio.
Yeah.
If they want to do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Come in, do an acoustic performance maybe, hang out, tell some stories, and just expose more people to your music, because you guys are freaking awesome.
That's killer.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it. Glenn, great seeing you, my friend.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Yeah, I usually am running out of time, so.
Yeah, you still got 10 seconds.
What should we do? I don't know. We'll just hang out here?
Yeah, in a future episode, the conversation over the coffee maker, I was talking about anal worms.
Stay positive.
Wow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.